broadcasting by the sea in sunny San Diego, this is the Ascended Masters at Work show, where we lift the veil of mysticism and reveal ancient secrets brought to earth by the world's greatest spiritual teachers. Here we share real-life stories that change lives and widen our eyes. And now, here is your host and spiritual life coach, Reverend Shirlene Reeves.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, for those of you who are on the Pacific Coast. And I hope that you are on the East Coast or taking really good care of yourself and doing whatever they tell you to do, because we've got these atrocious hurricanes coming up. So I thought we'd do something a little more fun today. You know, we do a lot of business and a lot of finance and a lot of sales. And I have a really fun person for you today. And she's kind of for all of those who are looking for a relationship or maybe struggling in a relationship. And she has an amazing book, and I'm going to tell you all about that. But this woman is really passionate about helping people find the love in their own lives. And she's an in-demand speaker, an ordained minister, a relationship and a love coach, an author of her book, Finding Your Love at Last, Five Simple Steps. Get that, Five Simple Steps to Attracting Your Soulmate Within 90 Days. And she's currently working on her follow-up book, Just for Couples, which is Finding Your Love at Last, Duets, How Couples Can Make Beautiful Life Music Together. Now, what I think you're going to be amazed at is that she has already supported over 500 couples in their love at last and is now ready to help take on the world to do the same. And she believes that every couple's relationship problem is nothing more than an opportunity in disguise. So I want to tell you, her name is Renee Michelle Gordon, and she is a doctor. And the interesting thing is that she was a regular on Dr. Phil's hit show, The Doctors, and is planning her own lifestyle relationship television show. Renee, welcome to the show. I'm very interested in what you have to say today.
Well, thank you, Shirlene. Thank you so much. I appreciate being here, and thank you for your beautiful invitation to be a guest on your fantastic radio show that's broadcasted, I think, not only in America, but all over the world, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a syndicated show.
Yes. And so you have thousands of listeners all around. So I'm impressed.
Thank you. So, you know, I want you to talk to us first a little bit. I want to hear a bit more about being a regular on Dr. Phil's show. Could you tell us about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I was asked to be on his show about 7 years ago when they first started. It was actually his son. And their producers had contacted myself and my husband, and they wanted us to talk about relationships and also talk about, especially around Valentine's Day, how to create how to create a romantic dinner. This was on the doctor's show. And I created a menu. I was on the show with my husband. It was more for couples. And we created an aphrodisiac menu, which was just a ton of kind of thing, really fun. You know, there was a shrimp cocktail and strawberries dipped in dark chocolate. And I made little tuxedos out of those strawberries, and not just oysters and things like that, which is so blasé, but it was also things of something unique and different, like papaya and mango, and actually sitting on the floor in your living room, not having to go out to a restaurant where it's crowded and you're waiting 2 or 3 hours for food that's mediocre and service that is very blasé, and you would have to wait a long time and the food is not very good. And having a romantic dinner at home, sitting at home on the coffee table, feeding each other, sitting on the floor with pillows around you, some beautiful candles, and having finger food. Like, you don't have to do anything at home. You can have sushi brought in, or pick up the sushi, put it on beautiful platters, and have finger food where you're actually feeding each other. And that's the romantic thing. And having beautiful music in the background and candlelight and creating romance, and then setting candles in your bedroom. Now, this would be for couples who've been together for a while or dating, you know, for a while as well. And it just creates that ambiance of love, affection, respect, and it creates this igniting this passion within two people who love each other.
That sounds beautiful. You know, I was thinking as you were saying that one of my favorite things to do is to sit on the floor and have Chinese food in candlelight. And I'll always do it on it when I move and I'm actually there for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it's always nicer if I have someone else to do it with.
It's much nicer, but it is wonderful to do, you know, if you're by yourself and you're not, haven't found that love at last. I always talk about finding the love within you. And, you know, when you eat by yourself, which I did for many years, because I've been single my whole life until I found my husband and I found each other. When I would be at home, I would set, you know, 4-course dinner. I have a candlelight. I have, you know, a bottle of wine. I would have maybe 1 or 2 glasses, have the TV on, or just have great classical music on, and just nurture myself and celebrate my day and the fact that I've been alive and I was able to share and help people through the different types of work that I was doing or philanthropy. And it was celebrating my day, saying, I deserve this. And then my little dog would have her little food too on a little chair and a little table for her.
How cute.
It was just, it was a mommy and me thing. So I always celebrate just being alive and ending the day with a wonderful dinner.
Wow, that sounds so beautiful. Really beautiful. Now you say you're married. And
yes.
I was reading your book. I thought your book was really, really interesting. And I noticed that you said that people could find love in 90 days. Did you do that with your husband?
Well, yes, I did. I didn't find him. Actually, he found me. And he found me on, we've been married, happily married for 17 years. We've been together since 2000. Uh-huh. And he found me on Match.com.
Mm-hmm.
And out of 2,874 men who emailed me, I had picked out 87. And I didn't go online. I had my ad was put on through some of my friends because I didn't know how to do technology things like putting an ad in or writing a profile. I knew what to say, but not actually doing the technology thing of the browse and putting a photo in. So I wrote my profile. My friends put that in. I gave them a picture from my portfolio. And they put that in. And then voila, you know, within from April of 2000 to September of 2000, I had 2,874 men. I went out with 87.
You know, when I did Match, I did it myself. And it became another job. I had probably that many as well. And I couldn't believe how many reached out, and it's really hard to call them out. So what, I mean, I know now that when they have their pictures there and they're cut off from their neck down, they're probably really heavy. And because I had an experience where I went to meet a football coach, and I thought, oh, this guy ought to be really interesting. And maybe he'll be kind of beefed up. Who knows? You know, boy, was he beefed up in a way that I totally didn't expect. And I said I'd have breakfast with him. So I was stuck there sitting, trying to make conversation with him. And we were not a match in any sense of the word. And when I sat down, he had all these croissants and muffins, and he ate for like 4 people. So I learned that when they have just their head as a picture, that you got to watch out. Right? You must have learned a lot of little innuendos from those.
Yes. And you're, Charlene, you're absolutely right. I think I had done my affirmations and manifestations, which I wrote to God. It was a 57-page letter. It was like a business plan. And what I did before I had gone online, I was already online, but like that night I wrote this 57-page letter to God. And in it, I knew what I wanted, but I actually put in it what I wanted. Somebody who's 6'3", salt and pepper hair, bright blue eyes, somebody who loves delicious food and loves to eat delicious food, somebody who loves to enjoy wine and maybe once in a while a cigar, but I didn't like cigarettes. So I only put what I wanted, not the not, because I believe that the universe only understands what you want, not what you don't want. So I said,
right,
cigars are okay, but maybe once in a while. I also put down, you know, I love children, but I wanted to marry somebody who's been married before so that I don't have to break them in, you know, like
or like train them.
You know, I was over 30 years old. The point is that I wanted somebody who was married before, maybe I would be a second or third wife, and someone who had children 16 years and older. And I didn't say younger because, again, the universe hears what we want. Mm-hmm. So I put that on the manifestation letter. In the profile, I wrote certain things, not so much about what he looks like, but more of what he is and who he's being. And when there's a thing that I live by, the be, do, and have. And being mm-hmm. in the being, I wanted to see who he was, because if he were a CPA or if he were, you know, a partner in a law firm, that doesn't define the person. And what defines a person is who they stand for and their values and beliefs. And that's what I was looking for to be congruent with. Now, mm-hmm. on the other hand, I didn't really want to marry somebody who's in the government, you know, or FBI, or somebody who works as a clerk in a courtroom. It just wasn't my thing. I wanted somebody who's more entrepreneurial, in a more leadership role. And I have dated politicians before, so that wasn't that part of the government. It was more of people who are mid-range in their leadership. That makes sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense.
So I definitely wanted someone in a leadership role, definitely an entrepreneur, partner in a law firm or CPA firm, or an mm-hmm. architect, and somebody who really enjoys food, because I love to cook. And I love fine dining, where you match the wine and the food together. Not just drinking because you're drinking, but matching the food to pair with a certain type of taste and nuances of what food delivers.
So what you're saying is to write your values down and then see, you know, to tell the universe what your values are and what you want in a person. And then the universe will bring that person to you. Is that correct?
Pretty much. And I didn't know the term at the time when I was looking for my husband. I didn't know the word values and beliefs. I kind of got that as I was engaged many times. And I kind of got that once I got engaged, I broke up like within 2 to 4 weeks before the wedding date. And it wasn't so much a runaway bride, but there were certain tells that after I was engaged, their personality kind of changed. And they want to be more controlling, or they want to be more dominant in my life. And I kind of didn't want that. I'm more of a wild stallion, and I didn't want to be on a leash or corralled or bamboozled or whatever you want to call it. And I wanted to have freedom is one of my top values. Actually, mm-hmm. my first top value is God. And mm-hmm. then freedom is up there. And yeah. what I've learned is to create my own five that resonates with who I am as Renee Gordon. And that's what I help clients with, is help them resonate with their values of what that is. Mm. Some people don't believe in God, which is okay for them. But then they should find somebody who also is congruent with that value. Some people don't value freedom. They want to be with somebody who's like, you know, an anchor. You know, just they lug around. They love that. Some men need to be needed. Some men need to have freedom. Women are like that as well. Some women need to be needed, and they like this whole heavy thing around them, but they love that. Me, I love freedom to be able to do what I want when I want, and I do that now. My husband, as long as my husband knows where I'm at and I'm safe, and that's all he cares about, as long as I'm safe. And he mm-hmm. says, well, do whatever you want. So I can travel, go away for weekends with girlfriends. You know, I have freedom to do what I want.
Yeah, so and I think that's so deal. Important so that we can continue to be ourselves. You know, some people want to be, they actually like being smothered and told what to do. But, you know, I had that in my first marriage, and it did not go well at all. We yes. were always at odds. So I want to introduce Nancy onto the call, and she's on line one. So I know she has a question for you, and she's been waiting patiently.
Oh,
are okay. you there, Nancy?
Hi, I have a question. And currently I'm going through a divorce right now. And when's a good time to remarry someone fantastic? And when should I start to date?
Oh, what a great question that is.
And that Nancy, is a good one.
A wonderful question. And Nancy, how long have you been married?
27 years and been together 35.
Wow. Okay. And you've just been dating each other for been with each other also, just by yourself, just the two of you for 35 years?
Yes.
Okay. What I suggest is, once the divorce is final, definitely write a letter to your husband, your ex-husband. And obviously, do you have children?
Yes, I do. Three.
Okay. Three. Wonderful. Write your husband, your ex-husband, that would be at the time, a letter, whether it's 2 pages, 5 pages, or 20 pages, and write it with blue ink to white paper. And write all the things that he did, which is wonderful things. And then when you're done with that, write all another letter writing all the negative things that he did. And this is part of cleansing of that relationship. And after you write all the negative things on another set of 5 to 10 pages, you want to burn those. And that's just the beginning, because even after 30 years, you need at least 3 or 4 years to really cleanse yourself and also date again, but not necessarily date to find a relationship. It's kind of nice to be with girlfriends and travel with them and just be with them and just do things that you don't normally do. Are your children grown?
Yeah.
Okay. So you probably have the freedom that you didn't have before in your relationship, so that you can kind of do and do it, you know, whatever level you want of traveling, of being with girlfriends, going to the movies with friends, and just having a much more lighter part of your relationship. And the main thing, Nancy, is finding who Nancy is and finding the true love that you have within yourself before you give your love again to someone else. So that's the main thing, is loving yourself first. And that'll take a little bit of time, and I'm happy to help you in that area. I'm the expert at that. And to be patient with yourself and really nurture yourself and do what you want. And don't let anyone dictate anything to you. But listen to your heart and be in your silence and being present. Sometimes it's hard, especially if you've had kids for a long time and you've had the husband and schedules and this and that. Now it's just Nancy's time. And so it's time just to be with yourself, to do what you want and your freedom, and to call me. I would love to give you a complimentary coaching call.
So, okay, Renee, you made a really good comment, and I want Nancy to stay on the line for just a minute. You were saying that we had to find out who we are. And I remember I was married for 17 years, and when we split up, people would say, take care of you, or make sure that you are okay, do things that you love to do. But I found that it was really hard to figure out who I was. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you would share with Nancy one way she can just figure out who she is. That's a big part of it, because when you're with someone for that long, you become a part of them and you have so much history that you really don't know who you are when you are set free like that.
Right. Charlene, I totally agree with what you said, and you're absolutely right. And yes, it is taking time to be with yourself. And through the experience of being with girlfriends and friends and going to parties and lots of travel. So I definitely recommend traveling with girlfriends and literally experiencing life differently. Of not necessarily be, you're not alone, but you're with friends and have that support system, especially with girlfriends who really care and are there to nurture you and have your back all the time, that you can call anytime and explain what you're going through and cry a little bit on each other's shoulders and have someone to share that with. Again, I can help you with all that. But if you're not able to call me for whatever reason, you can do that and do a lot of writing. That usually helps a lot. But definitely experience life as a single person. And it's not scary out there. I know sometimes people like to overlap relationships because they don't like to be alone. Well, be alone. And so that when you find the next person who comes into your life, you'll be truly authentic who Nancy is. And you're not conformed to what your husband wanted you to be or your kids wanted you to be. You can be authentic to who Nancy is. And that's what counts. And that's the true Nancy. And when you're in that authenticity, you get to connect with your Nancy within you. I call it your little Nancy that has probably been hidden in a drawer for a long time because she's not fully self-expressed to be blossoming like a beautiful butterfly. She's still the little caterpillar because she's been, you know, hidden for a long time in a little drawer or a little closet. And now she's breaking out of her cocoon, and Nancy's going to fly like a beautiful butterfly. Do you like that metaphor? Okay.
That sounds gorgeous. Beautiful. Was that a good response for you, Nancy?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for being here with us. You know, I want to say that it's taken me 9 years to really know who I am and be in a place where I could really move forward and add value. And, you know, Renee, when I when I did my letter, I also wrote what I was willing to give to the relationship. And that's grown over the years, I've noticed. And I thought that was really interesting. Have you ever done that with your clients?
What is that? What do you mean?
Write out what they're willing to give to a relationship.
Yes. And yes, you're right, Charlene. What you're willing to give, it is, as Dr. Michael Gross calls it, it's an exchange, and an exchange of value to the right action to correct exchange. When you have the right action, and part of that action is knowing your values and beliefs first. And it goes in deeper than saying she has blonde hair, mm-hmm. or he has blue eyes, or they like jazz, I like jazz, so let's get married. It's much deeper than that. And that's playing at the shallow end of the pool. What I do with my clients, I pull them into the deeper end, which is on the deep end, and it's kind of scary, but I'm there giving them a life raft. So they don't flail. They may think they are, but I'm there to always catch them. And in knowing who you are and in delving deeper, you can get to where you want to be and be authentic to truly have the freedom that you want to have. Now, not freedom to just do like what with wild abandon, do whatever, run around naked. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being true to yourself. If there's times, here's an example. There's people who have holiday, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day. And people say it's a huge stress day, that the holidays are stressful. The holidays are stressful because many, many, many millions of people do not live authentically. That means that they're meeting family who they don't talk to during the day, during the year, normally. And that brings up all their icky stuff from their childhood, whether it's parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever happened when they're children, comes up again during the holidays because it triggers something. So between the cooking, the stress that they have in the relationship, and just it's something different, that's where the stress bubbles up. If you're mm-hmm. living an authentic life and you don't get along with that aunt or uncle, there's ways you could set boundaries that will keep you from feeling stressed. Does that make sense?
It's a very interesting thought because, you know, we've got the holidays coming up, and
yes,
it's a lot of people are demanded to be with the family in the holidays, and they don't want to be there at all. And so they bring that anger with them in the first place. So how could there not be an eruption of some kind?
Yes, exactly. And I know that when I first got married, my first 2 or 3 years, my mother gets like that. She gets very demanding and mm-hmm. have to acquiesce to a lot of things who she is. And that's just who she is. So I've learned through the years to accept her for who she is. I only have one mother. During that, I felt friction and my chest would tighten up. So I took her to a beautiful buffet at the Beverly Hills Hotel with my sister, who also complains, or to the Four Seasons, or had her here at my beautiful home to have a beautiful dinner, they'd still always complain. And I thought on the third year, I said to my husband, I said, you know, let's not do this because it feels kind of icky. And he said, really? I said, yes. I said, all these years I've been single, I've been doing this with my family, and it's an obligation. I said, let's just do something different. Let's just go away. And we went away for Thanksgiving, and we went away another time for Christmas on a cruise, and a 2-week mm-hmm. cruise with my little dog. And I felt so good. I said, wow, this is profound freedom. Normally, I would be like rushing around and wrapping lots and lots of presents. And even if I gave him lots of like 20 or 30 presents, they still would not be happy. So I just rather just go on a cruise with my husband and my little dog. And I was so happy. And I gave them their one little present, and they were surprised. I said, They said, but wow, Renee, you're really changing. And it wasn't getting married. It's just finding who I am and being self-expressed without guilt. And guilt, Charlene, as you probably know, is only if you allow guilt in. If you always have love and gratitude and appreciation in your heart, that's what you'll have. So there's two emotions. There's love and there's fear. So stress and doubt and obligation and all these icky stuff is in the fear category. Where under love, you have the love, appreciation, acknowledgement, and all the wonderful things that come under love. Respect is another thing, and being respectful to yourself and who you spend time with, because our life is very short, Charlene. Mm-hmm. So always be careful who you spend your time with.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Renee. That was beautiful. And you mentioned Dr. Michael Gross, and he's on line two. And I always love when he calls in because he has these awesome questions.
Isn't he remarkable? I just think he's a phenomenal a teacher, an oracle, someone that I literally just love to listen to his words of wisdom on Tuesday nights. He has you might want to share that with everyone.
Yes. I will. Yes. In fact, I'm going to let him share it. So are you there, Dr. Michael?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on.
You're welcome. I'm really glad you're here with us. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I'm really honored to be on with Dr. Renee. So thank you. I have a couple of questions, and I'll address the first one. And so many times in a relationship, we get into a groove or a pattern and things become ho-hum and we take each other for granted and we just kind of float along. And it seems the spark and excitement of love is kind of floated away somewhere. And how do you reignite the spark of love? That's my first question.
Okay. So can I answer that first, Charlene? Is that all right?
Yeah, please do.
All right. Well, Dr. Michael, what I do, what I tell a lot of my clients, because I have a lot of couples who have been married for a very long time, and they don't want to get divorced, but it's just very humdrum. And like I had said earlier, eating at home, but not just making dinner, but ordering out something delicious and different, like sushi, and sitting on a coffee table and sharing a beautiful dinner, no TV, no telephone. The only technology you have is maybe your music from your iTunes with romantic classical music or something like that. Have the room filled with beautiful candles and feed one another and have the pillows all around your chair or your on the carpet, on the floor, and just have a romantic evening. Definitely put the kids away if you have kids, or send them to the babysitter, or if you have dogs, put them away so that you're not having dogs eating your food or slobbering all over the place. You want to have this one-on-one time that you truly show respect to one another. And also too is getting dressed for dinner, not necessarily putting an evening gown on, but putting something nice on, not something that you normally would clean the garage in, something that's that you would be going out to dinner with normally, and make sure you're showered, perfumed, or cologne, and shave and wax or whatever you need to do. And be with each other and make sure that the bedroom is ready, because that's your love chamber. And in your love chamber, you want to have candles around the tub, candles, you know, in that area, and bubble bath, and a beautiful, the bed, the sheets cleaned and washed and made, so that when you, after dinner, maybe you go into the shower together and wash each other's back, which you don't normally do, but it's something different and unique. Or go into the bathtub together with a beautiful bubble bath and maybe have like your chocolate strawberries and champagne, and then go into the bedroom and have some oil ready and just massage each other's back. Simple, nothing way outside of the realm of possibility, but something that you don't normally do. Maybe massage her feet or she can massage your feet, something that you both reciprocate. And in the massage, you'll find that close intimacy. But before you do that, before you even go to dinner, I mean, have dinner at home, you might want to write little love notes. Now, you don't have to spend a ton of money on roses or greeting cards. Even a post-it note would be great. A post-it note saying, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for being you, on a windshield or in her car or in her wallet, in her purse, or she can do the same for you. If the women out there are listening, because I know I have a lot of women followers as well, do something that you show appreciation to your husband. One of the things I have with appreciation, I'm going to give you this a little lesson right here, a little topic of what I how I teach my clients. Would that be okay, Shirlene? It's called the five
sure.
A's. Mm-hmm. Okay, I call this the five A's. One of them is acknowledgement, appreciation, acceptance, affection, and attention. Now, both men and women love this, but especially men. When men feel acknowledged that they did something right, all men love to be our heroes, whether it's emptying the trash or whatever it is, hug them. Thank you, honey, for emptying the trash. Even if it's emptying the trash or feeding the dogs or whatever it is, or mowing the lawn. In Southern California, nobody mows the lawn here, but everyone has gardeners. But just show acknowledgement of something that they did. The other one is appreciation. Just show that in a hug and just telling them how much you mean to them. The other one is acceptance. Accept them for who they are. Now, this is for people who've been married for a while. If the person is grouchy or whatever it is, or they're on their period, or they have a little thing at the office, just accept them for who they are and allow them to just rant, whatever it is, so they can get it off their chest, and then allow them to be. And if you're a woman supporting your husband, let him get it off his chest, or maybe he wants to be quiet and just watch TV and just give him his clicker, a can of beer, and to watch the Dodgers. Men love that, or basketball or football, whatever. I think it's football season coming up. So allow them to be for half an hour and decompress. And when a man does that, they will surely, surely appreciate that. Then you can tell them all the woes that you had during the day or your wins and breakthroughs that you've had. And then there's affection and there's attention. So all this is combined. You'll have a very happy husband or a very happy wife. Did I answer your question, Dr. Gross?
Yes, you certainly did. Thank you for the wonderful information. I really appreciate it. May
did
I
you
ask
have another,
you another question?
Oh, yes.
Can we take a quick break? Would you mind? And then we'll be
absolutely.
Right back, because I'm on pins and needles to hear your next question.
Okay.
So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Wish you had someone special to look forward to spending those lonely Friday nights with? Is your soulmate out there waiting just for you? Is there a better way for you to find Mr. or Mrs. Right without the embarrassment or hassle of going to an online dating site again? Well, you're in luck. My name is Dr. Renee Michelle Gordon, your love and relationship coach, and I'm here to the rescue. I'm the author of my newest book, Finding Your Love at Last, 5 Simple Steps to Attracting Your Soulmate Within 90 Days. We have just 7 openings for love and relationship coaching. If you're serious about finding your soulmate or devoted to improving your existing relationship, I have successfully helped well over 500 couples find love and happiness, and I'm wondering when you will be ready to have the same in your life. I'm offering a complimentary 20-minute love and relationship session for the first 10 people who contact me through my website, loveatlast.com, and that's spelled LUVATLAST.com. Again, LUVATLAST.com.
And I hope all of you wrote that down so you'll know how to contact Dr. Renee Gordon, who is our guest expert today. And we've been on the line just now with Dr. Michael Gross. And Renee shared with us, what did you call them? 5 principles? I didn't get your term.
It's the 5 simple principles. I call it the 5 A's. And that's
okay, 5
would you like
A's.
To repeat that again for you, Shirlene?
Nope, I got it. It's acceptance, appreciation, affection, attention, and what's the last one? What did I miss?
Oh, it's acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement. Okay. So I thought that was really great how you explained that. And I could see why it would really support a relationship. It sounds like it would be wonderful for either the man or the woman. Mm-hmm. And so now we have Dr. Michael Gross, and he's going to ask his second question. Go ahead.
Wow. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Great answer. Thank you, Renee. And thank you, Shirlene, for having her on. So my next question is, this is probably most men would be interested in this. When is the best time to approach a person when you want to have intimacy in your relationship?
Okay. These people are not married, obviously. Are they just dating?
That's correct.
Okay. You kind of know when it's time. I mean, the second or third date, it's still not a good time. Because here's how I look at men and women. Women are like crock pots. Men are like microwaves. Men are ready at any time, at any place, no matter what, they are ready. So the women, on the other hand, are more like crock pots, where it takes them a little while to get warmed up, to get ready. But also in a relationship, once a woman gives herself to a man, she's literally his. So I tell a lot of women out there who are single, whatever age you are, midlife, in your 30s, even girls in their colleges, I say, hold off until you're actually ready. And there's ways a woman can take care of herself without having a man around, but you don't want to do that on a regular basis. But on the other hand, when you give yourself to a man, your heart gets involved with that too. And so many people get their hearts broken. And in that, there's so many things that happen where things fall apart. And it's such a hurtful feeling. It's a heaviness in your chest. And it's hard to carry that around. It's like this big anchor, because love is such a powerful emotion. So I believe that when you know that your values and beliefs are congruent with one another, it would be time. So it could be the fifth, sixth, eighth date. And when you do make love for the first time, I'm talking to all the people who are not in relationships right now, definitely do it, not necessarily at someone's house, because there's memories there of other people's relationships or people that they've slept with before. I would suggest going to a hotel or a cruise. Or, you know, they have these in Los Angeles, little weekend cruises. And do something like that that's romantic, so that when you have your first encounter, it's something loving and memorable. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. And I appreciate being a microwave. Maybe I could be a hot microwave.
Yes. Well, it's men have to take their time and be patient. And it's worth the wait. If it's the right girl, it's worth the wait. But anything longer than 2 months is, you know somebody within 2 or 3 months. By 3 months, you probably should have had sexual relations or not. If you don't, then there's a problem, either psychological, they're still dating someone else that you don't know about, or they have some sexual problems or something like that, which is all okay. Have them call me and I can help them out. But definitely if there's no intimacy within the first 2 or 3 months, either they're afraid of falling in love because they've got deeper seated things, or they're seeing somebody else for certain.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And what if they actually admit that they have somebody else on their mind and, you know, they break up and then they go, then the person finds another person and then they say, oh no, I'm back again. I think it'd be, you know, I think I can get beyond this. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. And, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people out there. If you really want to find that special person, you know, move on. I would just say move on. It's too much. When people start playing the games and they start manipulating and kind of conniving and not being really present because they're in love with someone else or they have that on their mind, they're not fully present. They're not fully yours. So you need to move on. Life is very, very short. And when people start manipulating, that's called control. When people are in control or trying to control the other person, it's called fear. And when you don't want to get involved with somebody who's already in that fear mode, you want to find somebody who's done lots of life transformation and has real high emotional intelligence to know that you'll be compatible with that person. But as I said, life is very short. I've died twice, Shirlene, and come back to life. Mm-hmm. And I know how life is very short. So that's why I do the work that I do. And I love my clients and they love me and they love to give me referrals. But the biggest joy I get is knowing that either they left the relationship and they're thrilled and happy, or they're closer than ever and they've been married for several years and they're like renewal of their vows and they're like high school sweethearts again because they just followed my guidelines. And that's the biggest thing I get. That's the reason why I do what I do. That's my purpose.
That's beautiful. Did that answer your question, Dr. Michael Gross?
Yes, it certainly did. Thank you so much. May I speak about my phone call?
Yes, please do, very quickly.
All right. Every Tuesday evening, I do a complimentary conscious expansion call. And you can ask, what is my purpose, why I'm here, and so on and so forth. And you can call me at 515-739-1020. That's 515-739-1020. Access code 125446#. 125446#. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. It's such an honor to have you. And I love it when he comes on because I attend his Tuesday night calls, and so does Renee. So yes. Both of us are big fans of Dr. Michael Gross. So I really appreciate that he came on here. Now we have Patrick on line one, and I'm sorry. I've got to take William on line four. William's been waiting a very long time.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Hi, William. Are you there?
I'm still here. I just drank some water, so clear my voice.
Thank you so much for your patience, and we're glad you're here with us.
I'm learning so much on the phone. This has been fantastic, and I appreciate Dr. Renee for sharing her wisdom.
So what is your question?
Well, my question is, I've been dating somebody for a while, and they don't quite, I'm feeling like they don't quite reciprocate the feelings I have. It's like as when I pull away, they pull me back, and I'm very confused. What should I do? I mean, I'm not engaged. I'm not, we've just been dating. What should I do at this point? Should I cut my losses? Should I stick with it? What do you suggest?
Okay. So, how long have you been dating this person?
Well, it's been a little over a year, but they moved in the middle of, this relationship. So it's a long distance relationship, but it was a good relationship at first when it was close, but now with being away, it's not the same.
Okay, great. Are you looking for a companion to be with, a forever companion, a soulmate that's everlasting love, possible marriage? Are you looking for that right now?
Well, that was the point of this person, was I was thinking of them as a potential future wife.
Okay, so if that person is living in another area and she moved from the area that you were in together, and she's not willing to be there physically or being really present when you're together, then I feel that if she's not ready, you need to pull back, and not even pull back, just let it go and find someone else. Because when people, as I said to Dr. Gross, when people, men or women, start manipulating or trying to control a situation, either they're just not into you, which it's okay, and they're maybe ready for a marriage, but just not with you. And so you might want to just go ahead and cut your losses and move forward. Like I said to Dr. Gross, life is very, very short. And so if you have someone playing games and just not really there present, then you need to move on. Do you talk to her on a regular basis on the phone or not?
Yeah, I talk to her on the phone a fair amount of time, but it's sometimes distant, sometimes close. So it's my emotions are on a roller coaster, it seems.
So I just want to share this with everyone, is that love is not about emotions going up and down, fighting, bickering. That's not really love. That's not abuse, but it's not true love. True love is, yes, you can have a little bit of an argument or a little bit of tiff, but not where it's up and down. The relationship is literally up and down. Normally, people who have that, the sex is phenomenal. But I call that tachycardia, when it's up and down and up and down. And when you make up, it's intense and all that. And it makes the bedroom rattle. But it's on the outside of the bedroom. It's just very like, I don't like this. But why am I attracted to this? And I tell a lot of my clients, you're attracted to it because inside of yourself, because you're not loving yourself as you should be, is that your inside as well is being in a confused state. So I think the first thing you should do is break off and find yourself. Call me. I'd love to give you a complimentary coaching call and I can help you to break off that bad relationship, or not one that's resonating with you, to your values, and you could find another woman or person, whoever it is, and I can help you do that. But it's too, life, like I said, life is too short. You don't want to be manipulated or controlled. Okay.
Well, that would mean you need to let go, William.
You have to let go.
Yeah.
It's time to move on. And it doesn't matter how great it is, you need to move on. And get a clean slate, like an Etch-A-Sketch. And you shake it all up, and it's a clean slate.
And find somebody else in 90 days.
How do I get a hold of you?
Yes.
Renee, how do I get
my website is loveatlast.com, and it's spelled LoveAtLast.com. LoveAtLast.com. Okay, thank you.
Okay, and I can and you have your contact information on there.
Yes, contact information. There's a landing page. I have an event coming up next week, which I can talk to Dr. Shirlene later. It's on Friday the 15th, but I'll share that with everyone towards the end of the call. I think we have more questions, Dr. Shirlene. Is that
we
correct?
Do? We do. Are okay. You okay, William?
Thank
Did you
so
get
much.
All that you needed?
Yes, this was very helpful, and thank you so much. I really needed that. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for calling
pleasure.
In.
My pleasure.
And we have Patrick on line one. Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Renee. Thanks for having me on. I've read your book. It's spectacular. And
I have two
questions for you today.
Okay.
So question number one is, you talk in your book about the importance of sharing the same values, morals, ethics, beliefs, interests, and hobbies. So could you expand a little bit on that? Maybe you've already talked about this earlier in the program. I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago. If you've already done that, I'm sorry to ask that again. But why is that so important to have the same hobbies and passions and interests as your partner? So that'd be my first question. And then second question is, how much time should go by before you feel like you really get to know your partner, before you feel like maybe they could be the one or maybe they're not the one? Is it a matter of 6 months, a year, 2 years? When's a right time in your heart to know that this is the person that I want to be with, or maybe this is the person that would be a good spouse one day?
Got it. All right. Thanks. Let me answer that real quickly. I know that there's a bunch of other calls coming in as well because everyone's clamoring. So here we go. The first question is not so much hobbies, but definitely the values and beliefs. That's on a deeper, deeper level. If you say, oh, she has blue eyes and she has blonde hair and she wants to have two kids, I want to have two kids, let's get married. She likes jazz music, I like jazz music, let's get married. Definitely wrong, because on a deeper level, things happen. Things happen from your past or her past that bubble up during a relationship. So I believe that your values, and here's an example of a value. An example of a value is not just a belief in God, but a religion or spirituality. What is she about? Is she about legacy, freedom? Is she about family? Is that really important to her? Is she about the community? Is she a philanthropist? You know, things that are resonate. Does she want to have 5 kids or 8 kids and you only want to have 2 kids? How big does her family want to, do you want to have that family? Is she willing to move across the country to Alaska or to New York or Hawaii? Is she grounded in where she lives? All these things have to come up. Also, you know, has she had past loves that she's gotten over? If those are not cleaned up first, like I said earlier to the last caller, if you don't shake it up and have a clean slate, like an Etch-A-Sketch, all that stuff will bubble up. A past love may come into her life, and that may go into your relationship where she's not doing certain things. And you're saying, why is she acting so odd? Or she may have a mother who's somewhat toxic in a sense, who's bugging you in your relationship. And then you say something like, oh gosh, I didn't realize that this existed. So values and beliefs all come in and it spreads out like a pebble. You throw a pebble into the ocean or to the river and it spreads out like ripples. When it comes to the time of a relationship, I go 3 to 6 months. In 3 to 6 months, if there hasn't been anything of movement towards marriage or the other way, break it off. If there hasn't been any intimacy or anything of that nature, because in 3 to 6 months, you've experienced a funeral, weddings, events, circumstances, circumstances, situations, and things that come up. If by chance that that person doesn't want to get connected with you, she's trying to either be controlling, definitely in fear, and she's hiding something. Either she's had a relationship or one or two or five, whatever, or she's having a relationship with someone else that you may not know about, and she's keeping that from you. So a lot of these things, and that comes from the fear mode. Love is and fear are two separate things. They don't hold hands together. Love is respect, congruency. There is the appreciation, acknowledgement, and being truly, truly transparent. But it's also knowing who you are, the values that you have, to ask those pertinent questions and outright in front, eyeball to eyeball, and not on the telephone, not through email or text. I believe God made us to connect with each other, not through text. The other part, the fear part, if it's that person is not transparent and allowing you to truly be connected to one another. And, you know, intimacy is really a strong part of love. When it's intimacy of love, holding hands, or just being naked, just holding each other, that is intimacy. If it hasn't gone to that place and it's been over 6 months, you need to let it go, because there's definitely manipulation there. And she may be kind and sweet and all that, but you need to let that go. So I'm not sure if it's for a friend of yours that you're talking about, Patrick, or what, but that's my suggestion.
So, Renee, that was awesome, and I hope that helped you out. Patrick, we're running out of time today, and we need to take a short break before we finish up, and so we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Charlene Reeves with Maximize Your Wealth Now, with a new tip on how to maximize your wealth. What if you could compel your clients rather than selling them so that they would work with you? Wouldn't that be so much easier? Wouldn't it be easier to have more income? I talk to entrepreneur after entrepreneur, and they're running from networking group to networking group, and they're so tired. And the reason they're tired is because they're not making any money, and they don't know how to work with their perfect clients. What if I said to you, compel, don't sell, and I could give you the tips for how to do that? I'm tearing back the curtain, and I'm going to show you how I built my business from zero to multi-millions, and I want you to make multi-millions too. So check it out on my website, maximizeyourwealthnow.com, and get signed up for the next class. I promise you, I guarantee you, you won't be sorry.
I invested in Charlene's Compelled to Sell sales training program, and I just knew immediately that she was the person that I wanted to work with.
I came in wanting to know how to get more people I could talk to. And I also learned some things I didn't know that I didn't know. And now I know. At least I have a good idea.
The reason I took this course was because I felt like there were a lot of new things that Charlene had to offer that I had not experienced before. That's why I took the class, is I wanted to sort of up-level my sales skills. And thank you, Charlene, for this amazing class.
In 10 weeks, 8 Compel Don't Sell students made a total of $301,000. Isn't it time to make a compelling difference in your income? If you answered yes, call 1-888-889-9212. That's 1-888-889-9212 to register for the next Compel Don't Sell course and learn the art of selling with heart. Discover the secrets to the three-step sales waltz. Learn how to open a sales conversation and ask for the sale authentically in your own words. Dial to reserve your seat today. Dial 888-889-9212.
Welcome Welcome back, everyone. And we have just a little bit of time to finish up. And so, Dr. Renee, I would like to ask you, what are your final thoughts? What is a takeaway that people can use today?
Well, a takeaway, I know we've only got a few minutes, but I have a seminar next week, a webinar. Would it be okay if I share that with everyone?
Please, yes.
Okay, so it's my next week's webinar, which is on September 15th. And the topic of the webinar, is Love and Relationship Secrets to Enhance Your Life. And that's September 15th at 6 p.m. And to get the information about the webinar, go to loveatlast.com. /webinars. So that's LUVATLAST.com/webinars. And that's plural.
Okay. Awesome. So loveatlast.com. And you want to attend her webinar to get more information and ask more questions. And Lisa, I apologize that we couldn't get to you today. Hopefully you will go to the webinar and attend it, and then you could ask your question there. So thank you so much, Dr. Renee, for coming on the show with us. And boy, you gave us a lot of really great information. And we'll see everybody next week live on Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. See you then.
Thank you for joining us on the Ascended Masters at Work show with spiritual life coach, Reverend Shirlene Reeves. We hope you found our message enlightening in a way that will change your everyday interactions in work and play. Share the love. Pass on our web address, ascendedmastersatwork.com. And if you have a great story to share, we'd love to have you on the show. This has been a Massive Visibility Media production. Join us next week for the Ascended Masters at Work show. And while remembering the words of the late Wayne Dyer, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. We say namaste.